Thursday was Halloween, and my kids have been looking forward to Halloween for weeks. They were so excited. Elizabeth was most excited. She had decided how her costume was going to look. She had given me very clear instructions on what kinds of things I needed to go and find to put together this mime costume for her. William was all over. He's been practicing roaring like a dinosaur at the top of his lungs for a very long time. Margaret was highly uninterested in the entire thing until daycare had a Halloween party, and then she's been mooing and pointing at her costume quite enthusiastically. So then disaster struck in the form of the weather report. And Elizabeth realized that not only was it going to rain on Tuesday night, and not only was it going to rain on Wednesday, but it was going to rain all day and all night on Halloween. And it threatened everything. And so we prayed. And we prayed that either that God would make a break in the weather or that God would let us have fun no matter what. And at supper she goes, "But Mommy, it's still raining." As well, we also prayed that God would let us have fun no matter what. And you know, at 6 p.m. it stopped raining in Bloomsburg?
In Jarvis too.
It stopped raining for an hour.
Yep.
Well, my kids trick-or-treated at the 6 houses that are closest to us. And when they were done visiting those 6 neighbors, it started to rain again. God is amazing. And our children are too. But I felt a little badly because we got to go and we got to see our neighbors who are right here beside us. And we were blessed by them. And we got to be a blessing to them. Because if you live in a place like Bloomsburg or on the concession roads where some of you are, you don't see a whole lot of kids on Halloween. So, you know, one neighbor is emptying their chocolate box into my kids' buckets. Other neighbors had little packages that they had prepped just for my children because they knew they were the only ones. But I felt badly because there were more neighbors that in the rain and the dark and the wind of Halloween night, we were not able to see. Here's the question. Are our neighbors just those 6 houses that live closest to us? What about the folks just down the road? People that we know, people that they look forward to seeing, our one and only family for Halloween each day. Who are our neighbors? Bless their hearts. One family up the road later sent some little packages that they had all set for my kids in case they got there on Halloween night. Neighbors are people that show love to one another. People that bless each other. People that serve each other. You know, it makes me think of neighbors, the neighbors here from Bloomsburg Baptist Church over a couple hundred years almost. You know, the day was, and it wasn't that many generations ago, that everybody in the community knew that this was the Bloomsburg Church, and somehow this kind of made it their church. And everybody who sat in a pew here was a neighbor in a very physical sense. You know, if they didn't live right here in Culver Plains or in Bloomsburg, then they lived in the concession roads all around. Some of us still do. But not all of us, right? We come from Simcoe and from Waterford. We come from Brantford and from Jarvis. We come from Bloomsburg and from Concession 11. We come from Norfolk County and beyond. And we gather here, and then we try to figure out, well, then who are our neighbors? And that's the question that gets asked in the Bible story that we've already heard twice today. See, a man came up to Jesus and he stood up to test Jesus. We've talked through some of these stories recently. How the Pharisees had spent a lot of time wrestling with these questions. What were the most important commandments in the law? What was it most important to do if you wanted to experience eternal life in God's kingdom? What did it mean to be a neighbor, and who belonged to God's family? And now they wanted to know, all right, Jesus, we've all got opinions on this. We want to know, where do you stand? How do you measure up? So what do I need to do, Jesus, if I want to inherit eternal life? And as Jesus often does, he turns it right around. He says, well, you know the law. What does the law say? And the teacher responds, it says to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, that's a good answer. You should do that. But the man didn't just want to test Jesus. He also wanted to justify himself. I need to know that I'm doing this well, and I need everybody else to know that I'm doing this well. So Jesus, here's another question. Let's answer part two. Then who is my neighbor? You see, some folks might have said your neighbor are the neighbors are the people in your village. Or the neighbors are your people in your clan. You know, those folks who live near you, who you're related to, those are your neighbors, and you need to love them just like the Old Testament taught us so. And Moses said, love your neighbor as yourself. That's what you should do. And others would have had they had a big idea of who a neighbor was. A neighbor is anybody who was a Jewish, faithful Jewish believer. They, no matter where they live, if they are a faithful Jewish believer in Galilee or in Jerusalem or as far away as Rome, if they're a faithful Jewish believer, that makes them a neighbor. So here's the question, Jesus, where do you fall? Who is my neighbor? And Jesus starts a story that sounded almost like this. There was once a person from Waterford who needed to make the long and dangerous trek to Port Dover. And so they got in their vehicle and started on their way. But they were going on all of the dangerous back routes through downtown, dark, dangerous Simcoe. And in the midst of dangerous Simcoe, they were carjacked. And people dragged that man out of his car, stole his wallet and his keys, and left him lying on the sidewalk. Who would help him? He wasn't on a route that he was going to have people come by. Who would step up and help this man? Well, along came a Baptist pastor. And that Baptist pastor, while she was driving down those dark roads too, and she slowed down her car to look out and see, you know, what was going on. And she very quickly rolled the windows back up and kept driving and didn't stop. And so the man continued to lie there on the pavement without any help, hurting and starting to feel hopeless. Until along came a worship leader from another local congregation. And that person too slowed down, kind of flickered their lights, looked at, not me, gotta be somebody else around here who'll do something about that, and drove off into the darkness of downtown Simcoe. What would happen next? There's somebody walking along that sidewalk. Somebody who hardly had enough money to put together. He was a Muslim immigrant, new to the town, new to the community. He didn't know anybody. He barely spoke English. And he saw the man. And he stopped immediately. And he got out his first aid kit. And he helped. And he took the man to Norfolk General. And he brought him into the emergency room. He said, here he is, and his wallet's been stolen. I know he's a John Doe. Mark me down as his next of kin. Here's my credit card number. If there is anything that OHIP doesn't cover, charge it to my account. And Jesus said to the Pharisee, now, which one of those three became a neighbor to the man who was hijacked? And the Pharisee said, I suppose it was the one who showed mercy on him. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. Now the man had stood up to test Jesus and to justify himself. And so Jesus doesn't mince a lot of words, and he doesn't take it easy on him. He chose the most unlikable person that Pharisee could imagine to be the hero of the story. He chose the Samaritan who lived in the wrong place, who claimed to worship Israel's God, but worshiped Israel's God in the wrong way, who kind of spoke the language, but spoke it differently, who looked wrong, who was wrong. And if that Pharisee had had a choice, he would have gone all the way around Samaria if he had to travel cross country. Jesus says, that's the one who spoke up and showed up to say what it means to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. Be like him. But today, I don't just want you to hear the hard word. I also want you to look at the story and see the grace. Who belongs to God's family? Who is your neighbor? Who does God love? Does God just love the people that look right and act right and live in the right spots and know the right things and do the right stuff? Is that who our neighbors are? Are our neighbors just the people that live in the six houses around our house? Or just the people that we see and interact with? No, God's love is bigger. God's love goes further. In Sunday school, we talked about the mystery of the gospel. That God doesn't just choose the people that you would expect, but God goes out and brings more in, the people that you would never expect. So that the people who sound wrong and look wrong, and maybe even right now, believe all the wrong things about who God is and what God has done. Those are people God loves. Those are our neighbors. And God's on a mission to bring them into his family too. And he invites us to be a part of it. And he invites other people to say, you know who is your neighbor? Those people in that tiny town in the middle of that county that doesn't matter, that worship in one of those itty-bitty churches. Those people who don't look like they've got the right education or drive the right cars or know the right people or have any big voices and big important people. Do you know who they are? They are your neighbor. God's love is bigger. And so when Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, he's also reminding us God loves you like that. And because God loves us like that, because Jesus moved in to our neighborhood and stopped on the side of the road to rescue hurting, broken, hopeless humanity, to die for us, so that we can be healed and restored. So if there is anything that needs to be paid, charge it to my account. Because Jesus loved us like that, we become his neighbors. We become God's family. And then, and only then, we become the people who get to invite others in to say, I will love you no matter what you look like. I will love you no matter what it costs me. I will love you no matter where you live, no matter what you believe, no matter what you have done. I will love you, and I will invite you to know God's love. Who are your neighbors? Not just the six people who live around your house. Back in the day, we knew Bloomsburg Baptist Church. Our neighbors were the people who lived in this community and in the concession roads around. If they lived within 5 kilometers of this building, then they were our neighbors. Life isn't like that today. Your neighbors live, yes, around your house, yes, around your church. And your neighbors live in your workplace community, in your extended families, at Smoky Hollow, at the Pony Club, at the Norfolk County Fairgrounds. Your neighbors live here, and your neighbors are the people that we see who need to experience God's love through us. We've got an awfully big neighborhood. That can be intimidating sometimes, and that can be hard to figure out what do we do with that. But the reality is that we've got an awfully big God with an incredibly big love. And as we experience more and more of the love of God, God pours through us so that we can love God and we can love our neighbor. The neighborhood drives us mad because they're always shoveling their snow onto our driveway. The neighbor in your extended family, that you love them because they're family, no matter how incredibly frustrating they may be. The neighbor who doesn't look like a neighbor. And we discover God's grace inside of ourselves so that we can show mercy. And we can love with Jesus' love because Jesus loved us first. Who are your neighbors? The people you see every day, and the people that you might just meet in the deep, dark town of downtown Simcoe, or at the grocery store, or the next time you're traveling. Your neighbors are all around you. Let's share the love that we have received, the love that we have for God and God has for us. Let's share it with our neighbors. Let's pray. Lord, we do love you. And we are so incredibly thankful for your love for us, for the ways that you moved into our neighborhood and rescued us. We're thankful for the neighbors who have loved us and have poured your love into us. We're thankful that we get to share that love with others. We ask, God, that you would help us to see our neighbors for who they are, your loved and beloved children. And we ask that you would give us the courage and love to show mercy, to care for others, and to love people in your name. And we pray this all through the power of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Amen.